Here is your KLEM news for this Saturday. The victim that was severely burnt during that fire Monday afternoon has now been identified. Firefighters responded to a fire at 28279 130th Street north of Lamar's, and upon arrival, firefighters found a trailer fully engulfed next to a hog confinement building. That male subject was burnt in that fire and was transported to Floyd Valley Healthcare by private vehicle prior to the arrival of the Fire and Rescue Department. The subject was then airlifted to St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Lincoln, Nebraska, with severely critical burn injuries. The subject has been identified as Jorge Orozco, age 38, of Sioux City. Orozco is in critical condition in the burn unit at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Lincoln, Nebraska. Lamar's Community High School will be hosting a college fair night on Monday evening at the Carey Gymnasium beginning at 6 p.m. Judd Copperwood is the guidance counselor for Lamar's Community and says that the college fair event is open to students and parents from the surrounding region.
As we've had in the past, we will have, I believe, 50 colleges and organizations that will be represented from, you know, Iowa and from Minnesota, South Dakota, Nebraska. So we're looking forward to hosting them at Lamar's Community High School on Monday evening. And it's open to any high school students in the area. We've put out the word to some local high schools as well to try and see if there would be some interest there. And, you know, in the past we've had kids and parents come from other high schools in the area as well. So it's a nice opportunity not only for kids from Lamar's Community and also from Galen, but for some other kids and their families in the surrounding communities as well.
Copperwood says that the event is free for everyone. He says that the event is a great way for both students and parents to ask questions about any college, university, or military branch of service, and even financial aid services.
Parents love this event because they're able to talk with representatives of so many different colleges face-to-face, and I think that's a big deal. And a lot of times parents will come in with many questions and things they're wondering about, and the college reps do such a fantastic job of answering those questions for the parents. And the questions might be related to certain majors at a college, or it might be related to something with financial aid or scholarships, you know, or just something, you know, like college life, basically. There's questions are kind of from wide-ranging subject areas. So it's a great chance for parents to get those questions answered from the college reps. And like I said, the college reps are just amazing at answering questions for parents.
The Lamar's Community Guidance Counselor says registration has also been made simpler for attending students.
Basically, colleges ask that students just register by getting a barcode online in advance. Very easy to do. And, you know, we've informed all of our kids at the high school about it. And many of them already have barcodes if they came last year. But it's, like I said, it's pretty easy to do. Students just go to the website, go to collegefairs.com, G-O-T-O, collegefairs.com. And from there, it's pretty self-explanatory with just registering, typing in your information, and getting that barcode. And students can either have the barcode on their phone or they can print it out. And the college reps have a kind of like a scanner, basically, and they can scan the barcode and get instant information on that student for future use.
Officials ask that students and parents enter the Carey Gymnasium through the east doors. The man accused of robbing and killing a Fort Dodge pastor earlier this week made an appearance before a judge Friday morning. According to KCCI Television, 36-year-old Joshua Pendleton was supposed to meet with the judge on Thursday. However, due to an outrage when Pendleton was agitated when he saw cameras, that hearing was then rescheduled for Friday. The judge has set a cash bond of $6 million for Pendleton. The judge also declared that the accused is not allowed to have any contact with the family members of Pastor Alan Henderson. The incident occurred outside the St. Paul Lutheran Church in Fort Dodge Wednesday evening. Pendleton will remain in custody at the Webster County Jail in lieu of the $6 million cash bond. Arrest records show that Pendleton has a history of criminal assault charges dating back to April of 2016. Now, the Trump administration says it plans to implement new rules that will increase demand for ethanol, reversing a decline caused by exemptions given oil refineries. The proposal announced on Friday follows months of complaints by Midwest farmers, politicians, and the ethanol industry that the federal government's granting of waivers to refiners had violated federal law and forced some ethanol plants to close. Although the proposal by the Environmental Protection Agency and Department of Agriculture would not address the current loss of ethanol demand, it will ensure that beginning in 2020, the government would comply with a 15-billion-gallon standard already required under federal law. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nagy calls the announcement as a big win for Iowa.
The news that broke late last night and officially came out this morning from the White House was that they were directing EPA to really deliver on many of the things that we have been asking for now for the last couple of months, a fix for the small refinery exemptions that were granted in August. That amounted to about 1.4 billion gallons worth of ethanol demand destruction. And what EPA signaled, or what the White House signaled, is that they will instruct EPA to restore those gallons. But not only that, that they will create a mechanism where future waivers have to be accounted for as well. So it sends the immediate signal to industry that we were needing, but also I think helps to create some certainty for moving into the future as well.
Nagy says that the announcement solves both the near-term and the longer-term dilemma that is facing the renewable fuels industry.
So this deals with the 2020 renewable fuels blend obligation, but that's okay because it sends the right signal to industry that EPA must account for those waived gallons. And that was really the most important thing that we could accomplish in this discussion and with this fix is that those gallons would be accounted for. Now, the White House also signaled an interest in trying to help with access to higher blends of ethanol. So, for instance, to allow fuel marketers to run E15 through their existing E10 infrastructure. USDA will be coming forward with a program to help invest in the infrastructure that we need to offer higher blends of ethanol and biodiesel. So we've got the near-term signal that's being sent to the industry, and we've got a longer-term demand signal that's being sent to industry, and we're excited on both fronts.
The Iowa Agriculture Secretary says that we need to make certain that both the Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Department of Agriculture follow through with their commitments. Nagy was asked if the announcement would help those plants that have shut down production operations, such as the Plymouth Energy Plant in Merrill and the Siouxland Ethanol Cooperative at Sioux Center.
Well, we certainly hope so. You know, we know that the waivers and what that did to the price that was being paid for ethanol, the RINs to producers, sent the wrong signal and sent a signal that was contributing to ethanol plants having to look at the future in a way that was not so bright. And so there may be other factors that are impacting that decision to idle back or to shut down, but we know that one of the dominant factors was and is what happened with these gallons that were waived. So to that extent, we think that EPA and the White House is going to provide the certainty that those plants need to know that that demand can't be destroyed in the future like it was this past year. So we hope it's the right signal that they need to start back up again, but obviously those things will have to be taken into consideration by those individual plants.
Roughly 40% of U.S. corn is used to produce ethanol, so declining demand for the fuel additive can depress prices for the grain. That's a look at your KLEM News here on this Saturday.